This talk is about a new way to protect web applications. Today, when people build web applications, they write a bunch of JavaScript. That JavaScript manipulates the contents of the page using the browser's API. Web applications also typically include one or more JavaScript libraries that are written by other people. Unfortunately, those libraries can be large and opaque, and the browser doesn't distinguish the code of these libraries from that of the larger application. It gives all scripts in a page the same access and authority. Worse, authors often include them by hyperlinking to servers not under their control, such as the edge servers of a content distribution network, or CDN. Worse, the target of the hyperlink can change without the author's knowledge. This is akin to a desktop application that dynamically links to a library running on someone else's computer. Worse still, in the case of advertisements, the author often agrees to run arbitrary ad code that is chosen by the ad network at runtime. This is akin to an application that dynamically links to some unknown library on an unspecified computer. Today's talk is about how to protect web application authors from the mistakes and misdeeds of these libraries. What we'd like to achieve is control and containment of JavaScript code. Now, this is not a new problem. We aren't the first to address it. We're not even the 10th. I'll address the sizable body of related work later in the talk. For now, where we differ from this work is in our particular goals. Specifically, we want first, fine-grained control, and second, a solution that works now. That is, it can be immediately deployed. That means we want the mechanism to work in today's browsers and to require no changes to existing code. We'll see later that we can't quite meet our goals of no changes to existing code, but we can get close. It turns out that there's a new technology available in the browsers most of you have installed on your laptops right now that makes this containment possible. The rest of this talk is about a system that uses this technology to contain JavaScript code without browser modification. Now, I'm first going to give an example of what can go wrong, and then show how Treehouse solves the problem of fine-grained control of JavaScript code in a way that is immediately deployable. To make this more concrete, I'm going to use the following deliberately simplified example that illustrates the issues. Consider an online book retailer, Books.com. Bob, the page's author, would like to warn users if they enter an invalid or incomplete credit card number. Rather than reinvent that wheel, he uses a third-party widget that checks entered card numbers as the user types and displays a visible warning if there's a problem. He includes that widget by hyperlinking to the widget script on CDN.com, which is a content distribution network. Our attacker, Mallet, wishes to steal credit card numbers from Bob. Now, we're not going to allow Mallet to directly compromise Books.com, but we are going to let him compromise CDN.com. Here's how he can use that power to steal card numbers from Bob's site. Mallet replaces the widget script on CDN.com with a new script that behaves identically to the original, except it includes additional malicious code. When a user submits valid credit card information, the malicious code inserts an image into the page from Mallet's server, evil.com, and encodes the credit card data in the image's URL. The browser requests the image by URL from Mallet's server, which records the stolen card number and responds with a small, transparent image. Neither Bob nor the user is notified of what has transpired because the browser doesn't distinguish the malicious code from the larger application. As far as it's concerned, this is a perfectly legitimate operation. The real problem here is that the widget has more power than it needs in order to do its job. What we want is to contain the widget and control its actions at fine grain. Next, I'll tell you how Treehouse does this. At a high level, Treehouse sandboxes, virtualizes, and interposes. That is, Treehouse sandboxes guest code in a separately scheduled JavaScript environment. In that sandbox, Treehouse virtualizes the browser's API, including the document object model, or DOM, which is JavaScript's interface into the contents of the page. When guest code invokes that API, Treehouse interposes and enforces an application-specific access control policy. Access control policies describe the rules that Treehouse enforces when guest code interacts with the virtual interface inside the sandbox. Policies are JavaScript objects which map from browser API elements to rules. Rules may be Booleans, regular expressions, or functions. When guest code accesses an API element, the appropriate rule is consulted to determine if the action is allowed. Policies are specified at the granularity of individual API methods and properties, but their syntax allows both whitelisting and blacklisting, which helps keep policies small. Treehouse ships with a default policy that forbids most privileged operations. Of course, sandboxing and virtualizing is not new. The question is how to interpose at the interface between JavaScript and the browser in a way that works today. Treehouse's answer is to repurpose web workers, a new technology available in recent versions of the most popular web browsers. Workers were motivated by the fact that all scripts in a page and its child frames run in the same thread. This brings the usual inconveniences of event-driven programming. Specifically, programming computation-intensive tasks requires breaking the task into chunks and then yielding to the browser's event loop after each one. Web workers address this shortcoming. Each is a separate thread or process that can be concurrently scheduled. Despite having been invented for convenient concurrent programming, web workers can serve our purpose of being a container for guest code. That's because of two key properties. First, each worker's JavaScript environment is isolated from that of its parent page and other workers. It is not possible to import an object reference into a worker or export one out of it. Thus, scripts in a worker only have access to those objects they create themselves and those they obtain from the browser. Second, workers do not have access to the parent page's DOM, which, recall, is JavaScript's interface to the contents of the page. Browsers provide an asynchronous pass-by-value message channel between the worker and its parent page. This interface, called PostMessage, allows workers to communicate with their parent page, but the messages it passes can't contain executable code or object references. So, by running guest code in a worker, we prevent it from accessing JavaScript objects in the parent page and from viewing or modifying the contents of that page. This is not enough, however. Guest code can still access the API that browsers provide inside the worker. This interface is much smaller than that of the parent page, but it still allows some privileged operations, such as opening HTTP connections using XML HTTP request. Treehouse arranges to run first in the worker before any guest code. It then wraps the browser's API, allowing it to interpose. To do so, Treehouse takes advantage of the fact that in the worker, the browser's API is made available as ordinary properties of the worker's global namespace. It replaces the browser's implementation of each API element with a wrapper. And that wrapper checks the application security policy and delegates the original implementation if the action is allowed. This same technique cannot be used in the parent page, by the way, as browsers either ignore the attempt to replace their implementation or raise an error. As you can see, Treehouse sandboxes have two layers. The outer layer, the worker, prevents guest code from accessing the application's JavaScript environment or interacting with the page through its DOM. The inner layer, the API wrapper, prevents guest code from accessing the browser's API inside the worker directly. Both layers are necessary to contain guest code. The worker is now ready for guest code to run. While that guest code is contained, it can't get much work done. Usually, this guest code needs access to some part of the browser's interface in order to do useful work. Treehouse solves that problem by virtualizing those parts of the browser's interface that are not available in the worker, most notably the DOM. In the case of asynchronous methods, this is straightforward. After checking the API access against the application's access control policy, the method call is serialized and passed as a message to the parent page. Treehouse performs the requested operation in the parent page and then serializes the result and passes it back to the worker. Virtualizing synchronous methods is more challenging due to the asynchronous nature of the interface between the worker and its parent. JavaScript does not provide an equivalent to sleep or yield. So in order to receive an answer to a message from its parent, the worker must yield to the browser by fully exiting from the current call chain. Treehouse handles this difficulty by emulating synchronous methods when possible. To emulate the parent page's DOM, we use JS DOM, which is an open source implementation of the document object model. This code runs in the worker and provides a virtual DOM to guest code. Guest code interacts with that virtual DOM synchronously, as it expects, but any changes are replicated to the parent page asynchronously. When guest code makes a change to the virtual DOM, Treehouse first checks that change against the author-supplied access control policy. If the policy permits the change, Treehouse sends a message describing the change to the parent page, which then updates the real DOM. Let's now return to our example and demonstrate how Bob can use Treehouse to defend against Mallet's attack. Recall that Bob included in the checkout page of books.com a script that links to a widget provided by cdn.com that provides a credit card input widget. Unbeknownst to him, Mallet has replaced that script with malicious code that exfiltrates credit card information to his server, evil.com. To implement Treehouse, Bob first modifies the script tag he used to include the widget in his application. He indicates that the widget should be sandboxed by changing its type. The browser doesn't recognize this type, so when it loads the page, it ignores the tag and does not execute the script. He adds another attribute to the tag to tell Treehouse which parts of the DOM should be present in the worker's virtual DOM. Using this value, Treehouse queries the DOM and copies any matched elements into the sandbox's virtual DOM. He then adds a second script tag. This script modifies the default access control policy. The default access control policy forbids most privilege operations, but it allows, specifically, it allows images to originate from any HTTP or HTTPS origin. So Bob has to change this policy to restrict images to just come from books.com, which is what the example does. Recall that policy rules may be Booleans, regular expressions, or functions. In this example, the rule is a function. Treehouse passes the function name of the property, the new value, and the previous value when guest code accesses the API. Treehouse allows the property change if the function returns the Boolean value true, and forbids it if the function returns any other value. The function in the example returns true if the new source is a URL from books.com. If guest code violates the application's access control policy, Treehouse terminates the worker in question and notifies the parent page. As you can see, application authors do not have to write an entirely new policy if they don't want to. They can simply relax or tighten individual rules in the default policy as the needs of their application require. However, we think that for many applications, the default policy will be just fine without any customization. As a result of Bob's changes, the widget script now runs in a Treehouse sandbox with a custom access control policy. The virtual DOM of that sandbox contains only the credit card information form, which is all that the widget really needs in order to do its job. After the compromise, Mallet's script also runs in a sandbox under the same conditions. So, when Mallet's script attempts to exfiltrate the user's credit card information by inserting an image into the page, it is actually inserting it into the virtual DOM. When this happens, Treehouse checks the application's access control policy, specifically the rule from the previous slide, and forbids the change. Since the source isn't books.com, Treehouse forbids a change and terminates the worker. Now, because this happens before the image was added to the real DOM, the browser does not make an HTTP request to evil.com, and the user's credit card information is not leaked. Now that I've told you what Treehouse can do, it's time to talk about what it can't do. Recall that I said that Treehouse virtualizes access to synchronous API elements by emulating them when possible. You likely wondered what the heck Treehouse does when emulation is not possible. The answer, unfortunately, is not much. There are a few synchronous API elements that cannot be meaningfully emulated in the worker. The best example is probably window.prompt, which blocks the calling script, displays a simple text input widget to the user, and returns any entered text to the calling script, which resumes execution. We're not aware of any way to emulate this method in a worker. The browser does not provide a way for the worker to prompt the user itself, so it must ask the parent page to do so. That won't work, though, as guest code expects the call to return the user's input synchronously, and the worker's interface to the parent is asynchronous. Unfortunately, guest code that calls these synchronous methods will have to be modified to run in Treehouse. Fortunately, there are few such methods, and they are not commonly called by third-party code. A second limitation of Treehouse also stems from the challenge of putting a synchronous interface in front of an asynchronous channel. Recall that the worker's virtual DOM presents the synchronous interface that guest code expects, but replicates changes to the real DOM asynchronously. This introduces a difficulty if a DOM node exists in more than one virtual DOM at the same time. If guest code in different workers attempt simultaneously to modify that DOM node, the result is a race. Treehouse's response is to forbid sharing altogether. A DOM node in the parent page may exist in at most one virtual DOM at once. Now, Treehouse and the application also have to play nice in this scenario. They must agree not to modify DOM nodes that are present in a virtual DOM without notifying the worker itself. A final limitation is that Treehouse depends on the assumption that the parent page's DOM is unavailable in the worker. However, this is actually an implementation detail, and that could change. Unfortunately, the web worker specification is silent on this subject. The reason browsers don't provide DOM access in workers is because it raises really difficult concurrency problems that they have no interest in solving right now. To the best of our knowledge, no browser currently exposes the DOM to workers, and none have any plans to do so. While we don't think there's much risk that browsers are going to change course on this issue, that risk is not zero. So, while I'm airing all this dirty laundry, I might as well talk about our evaluation of Treehouse. We evaluated Treehouse on its ease of use, the delay it adds to the application's load time, and the overhead it imposes on sandbox code. To evaluate Treehouse's ease of use, we ported two JavaScript libraries to run in Treehouse. Based on this experience, we believe that adapting existing libraries to Treehouse will require modest effort at most. An important caveat is that development tools are somewhat lacking at this time. Specifically, only Chrome and Internet Explorer provide source-level debuggers that will work inside of a worker. We expect this situation to improve in the near term as workers become more popular. We next evaluated the delay that Treehouse imposes when the application first loads in the browser. The time it takes for a page to load when the user first arrives is a critical metric. Any significant delay can cause the user to leave and give up and go someplace else. Treehouse imposes a fixed delay of 130 to 350 milliseconds to this initial page load time. That's the cost to set up the Treehouse sandbox. In addition, populating the virtual DOM also delays the page load in proportion to that virtual DOM's size. Authors can keep this cost under control by selectively sandboxing. That is, they should really only include those DOM nodes in the real DOM into the virtual DOMs that they actually need. Second, what they can do is they can actually wait until the page loads before starting Treehouse up, and they can show some minimal user interface that lets the user know that something is happening, and then start Treehouse while that's going on, and that way you sort of interleave those two operations of the user reading the page when it first loads and Treehouse starting up. We evaluated the overhead that Treehouse imposes on guest code with Dromeo. Dromeo is a benchmark suite that combines benchmarks from several major browser vendors. We have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that accessing the DOM is somewhat slower in Treehouse. Most DOM operations are less expensive than this by an order of magnitude or two, but that's still pretty expensive. Some are actually faster, but the overwhelming majority are much slower. Fortunately, there's good news as well. First, when it's not accessing the DOM, guest code runs at native speed. Second, while relative overhead in Treehouse is abysmal, absolute overhead of DOM operations is mostly tolerable. That worst case scenario from the previous slide actually only costs 26 milliseconds in absolute terms. Unfortunately, there are a few calls that are much slower than that. There are a couple that take up to a second to complete. The bottom line is that if your application must load as quickly as possible or does lots of DOM work on its critical path, Treehouse may not be for you. We think it will work for many workloads, however, and I will now present a demo to support this claim. As an end-to-end test of Treehouse's performance, we chose Domtris, which is a Tetris clone that renders the game board using DOM elements. We modified Domtris to run in Treehouse, which required changing 28 lines of code in total. On the left, we have Domtris running unsandboxed. And you can see this is actual live code running in my slides, which are a web page. And on the right, we have Domtris running in Treehouse. As you can see, there's some noticeable flicker and some jittering, but overall, Treehouse holds its own pretty well, unlike I often do in Tetris. So I'm now going to take some time to review work related to Treehouse. Excuse me. There's a lot of work in this area, so I will group it into four broad categories. The first is work proposing new browsers or modifications to existing ones. While this option offers the most power and flexibility, it requires changing the entire web ecosystem, which conflicts with our goal of immediate deployability. In contrast, Treehouse is supported on recent versions of popular browsers today. The second category of related work is methods that contain scripts with the mechanism of frames. The main advantage of this strategy is deployability. Frames are widely supported, even in the oldest browsers. However, frames provide less control over isolated code than Treehouse does. Scripts in a frame run in the same thread as the application and thus can interfere with its liveness. In addition, scripts are free to open to make network requests to arbitrary destinations and thus can't be entrusted with private information. A third category of work controls guest code with language-based mechanisms. Typically, the way these mechanisms work is that they run a static verifier on the server, which ensures that the guest code in question is restricted to some subset of JavaScript. The primary disadvantage of this technique is that little third-party code is actually written in these restricted subsets, so you have to port that code to the restricted subset. Treehouse, on the other hand, supports the entire JavaScript language. In addition, many language isolation techniques employ runtime logic that interposes on all object property accesses. This imposes non-trivial overhead. Treehouse, on the other hand, only interposes on privileged operations. The final category of work is projects that use mechanisms related to Treehouse, such as DOM virtualization. We're not aware of any work that shares our goals of fine-grained control and immediate deployability. However, of these projects, one bears special mention. JS.js, which was presented yesterday evening, implements a JavaScript interpreter in JavaScript. Guest code runs in the interpreter, which serves as a sandbox. And inside that sandbox, no privileged API elements are exposed by default. To expose privilege operations to guest code, authors can bind functions outside the sandbox to symbols in the sandbox's global namespace. Now, this project shares our goal of containing and controlling JavaScript at fine grain, and also has a goal of backward compatibility. However, it is not immediately deployable at this time. JS.js does not provide a full virtual DOM, and adding one is a non-trivial task. It also has different performance characteristics than Treehouse. Specifically, in JS.js, DOM operations run at near native speed, but everything else runs two orders of magnitude slower than native. Under Treehouse, on the other hand, DOM operations are extremely expensive, but everything else runs at native speed. Treehouse is not ideal. Its main strength is deployability. Browsers could help address Treehouse's limitations by first standardizing on a worker interface that doesn't provide DOM access, and second, providing some mechanism that allows a worker to block until a message is received from its parent, which would help us with the synchronous-asynchronous mismatch. What would be far better, however, would be for browsers to provide a native equivalent to Treehouse. Our hope is that browser vendors will be inspired by our system to provide authors an efficient and natural mechanism to control JavaScript at fine grain. In the meantime, Treehouse is a deployable system that contains JavaScript code without browser modification. Thank you.
Questions? Howdy.
Hi.
James Mickens, Microsoft Research. So you described in your related work, you mentioned some of these language rewriting efforts,
yes,
like Caja, stuff like that. And you said that certain drawbacks, such as having to interpose on, you know, every object access, things like that. Now, those techniques do have the advantage that you can use synchronous interfaces, right? Because you can run things in the same frame in many cases. So they would have better performance in this approach. But it also seems, too, like in your approach, you would also need to interpose on some of these accesses, for example. So isn't it the case in Treehouse, for instance, that accesses to prototype objects and stuff like that, don't you have to protect those?
Actually, we don't. Because a worker is a completely separate JavaScript environment. It has a different prototype chain than any other JavaScript environment. So modifications,
right,
to the prototype chain in the worker or in the parent page do not overlap.
That's correct. But doesn't that prototype chain in the worker affect the prototypes that are accessible to your virtualization layer as well, such that if you fiddle with the prototype chain that the guest code sees, you're also fiddling with the prototype chain that your virtualization code sees?
That's an excellent point. I'll have to think about that one.
Okay, we should talk offline. Thank you.
Костя Серебряный, Google Moscow. You have a great goal to work today, but what if you had a little control of JavaScript interpreters? What would be the most important single feature that you wish to have?
To achieve the goals of Treehouse, I think the most important single feature would be for the ability for some parent to run scripts in a JavaScript environment and be able to specify which API elements, or basically which global symbols are available in that environment. And I believe there's been some discussion of this in the language community and the DOM community, but right now there's no proposal on the table that I'm aware of to provide that. It'd be great if there was.
Stephen McCammon, UC Berkeley. Could you show the image loading policy you had?
Yeah. Sorry.
That's checking the prefix of the URL?
Yeah. Okay.
Would that allow me to load an image from https://books.com.images.evil.com?
Yes, but that's a fault with my regular expression, not with the policy mechanism.
Thanks.